Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and this next hour, I guarantee you, is going to keep you, well, on your mental toes, because we're going to be talking about some really unique experiences and information. Don't forget, have that pad of paper handy. That's always something good to have with the Donna Sebo Show, because we always have information that you may want to make a note of, and having that handy is a good idea. And later on in the hour, you'll be able to call in at the telephone number 877-876-5227, and from Canada, 888-810-8322. My guest today is Adrian Finkelstein, MD. His book, which is really something that will keep you gripped on the edge of your mind seat, Marilyn Monroe Returns. This is a story that has some very, very unique aspects to it. Dr. Finkelstein, I invite you to the show today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It is such a fascinating book. First, I have to say, the picture of Marilyn Monroe on the front is absolutely exquisite. Just one of the best pictures I think I've ever seen of her. And you're quite an interesting man yourself. You have been a first research award graduate of the Menninger School of Psychiatry. You're the former chief of the outpatient department of psychiatry at Mount Sinai Medical Center and the former assistant professor of psychiatry at Chicago Rush Medical School and University. You're in private practice, but you've also served as an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at UCLA, where you taught therapeutic hypnosis and past life regression therapy. And you've been involved with this and are considered a world expert, as well as a pioneer, for well over 30 years. And currently you're teaching at UCLA. You're teaching psychiatric residents, medical students, psychologists, social workers at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center Complementary and Alternative Medicine section, the Holistic Therapeutic Hypnosis, Orientation Introduction to Past Life Therapy. And the list goes on and on. You are such an accomplished man that there are so many people that when they would hear past life regression therapy, they would go, okay, this is outer space stuff. I just don't know that I want to listen to it. But you've got a story that led up to your being involved in this. How did you, as a medical student, being trained in the Western concept, the Western orthodox procedures of medicine, first, what prompted you to become a doctor? And second, how did you end up going from one positioning in medicine to the one you're occupying now?
Well, from the very outset of this interview, I have to stress that, as you said, I'm a physician and I follow the Hippocratic Oath. My main aim as a physician is to be an instrument of healing. Thus, my focus in the case of Sherry Lee Laird, the presumed reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe, was the same, healing. Besides, in accord with the same oath, I was not looking for money and fame. It is also worth pointing out that Sherry Lee Laird found me. I didn't look for her. Sometimes reflecting on the old thing, the answering your question, it seems God has a plan for me, using me as his tool by first having me acquire over a great part of my life the necessary credentials in order to be credible, and then provide me with Marilyn Monroe reincarnated as a research therapy subject to give a larger-than-us message to the world, a message of healing, a message of peace. But proceeding with this task, evidently, I had to prove that Sherry is the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe. In the process of proving that Sherry Lee Laird is the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe, there were almost insurmountable hurdles and challenges posed to us by skeptics and disbelievers, and they had to be met and overcome. The first one was the purpose of what was my encounter with Sherry, and that was the healing of Sherry Marilyn's soul, mind, and body. But in order to provide that, in order to be able to accomplish that task, I had to go to the next hurdle, and that is proving the truth of reincarnation and thus using it as a tool in the healing process. Mind you that only about 25% of the Western world believe in reincarnation, unlike virtually 100% in the Far East, where Dalai Lama being reincarnated is not merely a belief, but a way of life.
Okay, I'd like to stop you there, Doctor, for just a minute, because what I'd like to do, because my listeners are not necessarily aware of Cherie Lee Laird and your journey relative to her, and because of your involvement, it began in October of 1998. And how did this begin with you? Before we get into all of the process,
right?
How did you and Cherie cross paths? Because I think it's good for my listeners to know, because this is covered in your book.
Right.
But I think it's good for people to have an understanding that this isn't something that just, it did sort of evolve out of nowhere, but not really, because you had to have some kind of credibility for this very well-known singer, Cherie Lee Laird, to get in touch with you. How did she find out about you?
Well, this is basically the greatest hurdle that I was talking about, and that is proving that if there is reincarnation and that celebrities have the right to reincarnate too, even Marilyn Monroe. In Cherie's case, this proof was of primary importance as she came to me to liberate her from Marilyn's demons that were driving her to suicide, which, like Marilyn, she attempted twice since 1998 and before that as well. So this challenge was even greater as, for some reason, people are prone to suspect in this case, falsely though, that Cherie and I are looking for money and fame. Therefore, an even slimmer percentage of population would believe in such a claim. But we physicians are making a diagnosis based on many signs, not just on one that doesn't stand by itself. So this is what I proceeded doing with Cherie. And I got that mounting evidence. But the way she came across the first time to me, and by the way, it was September, not October, 1998. In October, we really started working, but the first time she attempted to reach me was in September of that year. And the way she came across to me the first time was a troubled soul seeking relief, not notoriety. I was trained in human behavior how to distinguish between fake and genuine in human behavior, and she came across to me very genuine. Besides, at the time she contacted me, I had already under my belt about 20 years of experience in past life research and therapy with thousands of people. So it didn't surprise me, but here we got a certain different twist. She claimed to have lived as Marilyn Monroe. So that's the way it started, basically. And as I said, I did write books before on reincarnation. And I think that... This is not something new. I proved through public record and even children that recounted to me past lives that they were correct through birth dates and places of birth and other data. In my first book, Your Past Lives and the Healing Process, Psychiatrist Looks at Reincarnation and Spiritual Healing, I worked also about 8 years. I didn't publish it. And because it was a lot of problem there, I mean, there was this ostracism in the university circles, and so I postponed the publishing until 1985. But anyway, it wasn't new for me. If I could continue and say this, that the main signs for me, the main categories of signs as a physician to make a diagnosis that she is the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe, were to pass life regression around that I performed on Sherry Lee Laird that were the most compelling. And then the biometric markers, similarities between Sherry and Marilyn in terms of face bone structure, architecture, as it was proved also by Ian Stevenson, the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Virginia School of Medicine, and also wrote in his book about that in 1999, also Walter Simtew, MD, in The Return of the Revolutionaries, also mentioned this, biometrics. Also, there was another set of signs, and it was coincidences or synchronicities, like hundreds of them. It's like an invisible force pulled us together for some reason to give a message. Then the email and telephone communications between me and her, and the psychic confirmation in the end of 7 years of scientific research by the famed Kevin Ryerson, that worked with Sheila McLean, a trans-channeler, that channeled ancient spirit Atun Red, very accurate, and used also by Walter Simtew that I mentioned before. So he also confirmed in the end of our scientific research, after we confirmed scientifically, that also spiritually he can attest that Sherry Lee Laird is the linear and only reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe.
All right. So, now, your book, again, for those of you that have just tuned into the broadcast, Marilyn Monroe Returns is the title of this book, and it is a fascinating book because not only do you find out about how Dr. Finkelstein ended up going through, as a physician, all of the orthodox training and then going through various levels, learning about hypnosis, doing his own tests, evaluations, working with over 700 regressions and working with people, documenting all of this, being involved with this for 30 years. He has quite a few credentials behind him. And there is so much in his book that I think you would find extremely interesting because he documents a lot of what they actually went through. Now, I have in front of me your book, Doctor, and what I am observing is information on the subconscious. There may be some of our listeners that are saying, how can this work? How can we be able to dip into this part of our memory banks? Tell us a little bit about hypnosis and what it is when people are going through this type of regression. What happens with the subconscious? What's going on with this?
Well, during the hypnotic state, a person is more relaxed in mind and body enough to have certain blocks, inhibitions, restrictions temporarily dissolved so that one can access the memory bank, as you said, of that subconscious mind, which is a form of energy that is programmed to control our physical body, holds the memories, the emotions, the desires. It has the intuition. It's programmed like a software of a computer in a way, by authority figures throughout lifetimes to be what it is, and many times with a lot of blockages and also limited reasoning. This subconscious is like the inner little child, about a 3.5-year-old mentality in our society, and most people most of the time act at that level. So if we have that access into the subconscious through the hypnotic process, and in Sherry's case, it worked excellently because she was an excellent subject. She could reach a very deep hypnotic trance that only about 10 to 15% of the population can. And in that state, I suggested to her, which is a state tantamount to truthium, to forget anything she's learned artificially, from books, magazines, films, etc., public record, basically. And if she's really the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe, I want her to report to me the authentic memories, feelings, and experiences of Marilyn Monroe. And to my amazement, under that state, she really could answer factually and emotionally correctly hundreds of carefully researched questions by me about the life of Marilyn Monroe and her career. I say also emotionally, not just factually, to tell me, oh, this is the name of this person, or this is the name of the event, or this is the time of the event. That would be factual. But she expressed emotion. For instance, Miss Snively, that was the director of the modeling school in Los Angeles, where she studied when she was 18. I wanted to know her name, Emily Snively. She would not tell me the name, but she would react emotionally and say, that woman doesn't love me, doesn't like me, she hates me. And she was so emotional. And then after I insisted, she told me the correct name, Emily Snively. So that's just an example. So she was correct in all this. But to come back to the subconscious and the hypnosis part, I think that she did so well by revealing all this information, especially in the second round of regressions in November last year. We had a total of about 40 hours of videotaped dramatic past life regression on Sherry Lee Laird. Her daughter, a 20-year-old, was present. In the first round, we wanted more to prove factually that she's the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe, so that based on that, in the second round, that took place several months later in November, the first was in May, she could overreact emotionally and get out of her system all this emotional poison that she accumulated, especially around her key relationships, like with the Kennedys and others, and how she really died. So that's very, very dramatic, and a clip of it was presented at CNN Showbiz Tonight. That was extremely convincing. She was screaming and shouting and gripping my hand, and the tears were rolling her face. She couldn't act, and she couldn't lie in that state of somnambulistic hypnosis so deep, and under the suggestion that I induced on her to forget selectively anything that she knew artificially from the life of Marilyn Monroe, Norma Jean. So that clip is so convincing that she really was livid and trembling, and she was almost going, and in the end she couldn't even believe, because I made her remember all this, that she still survived after that experience under hypnosis. But for the listeners, I want to say that hypnosis is very safe, because I was there with her and I took good care of her.
There are so many people that I've known in my life experience that have gone through things like this, and they themselves have maybe experienced it in a dream, or maybe it's like a movie frame that suddenly lodges in their memory. And when they go through it, it's not as traumatic. And with Sherry, she had been having experiences from the time she was a little girl. It's almost as if she felt she was two people. And she was, at least when I was reading your material, it was, to me, something that she had really had difficulty dealing with for a long time. And this actually helped her to do better with her life. But here she had become a performer in the entertainment field that obviously Marilyn Monroe had loved so much herself. Marilyn Monroe had always wanted to be a singer. Sherry had so many difficulties with drugs and other things. I'm sure that this just compounded this duality that she felt. Now, this is all past her right now. Is she still performing?
Yes, she does. And recently she was on the top of the charts in Europe and Canada with her remix by Sad, No Ordinary Love. She was number one of 10. So she is a very a very talented young lady with a marvelous voice. And I'm sure that if she's found by the right people at the right time, she will be greater than she was before in giving good entertainment to the world.
Now, she, at this time, is at peace with everything that she's discovered. She no longer has this haunting duality, does she?
Yeah, basically she approached me the first time in 1998 with presenting symptoms such as recurring flashbacks, terrible nightmares of having lived as Marilyn Monroe that drove her to suicide several times, as I mentioned. And the suicide ideation, the intent or plan vanished. It's been many, many months, I would say probably a year, since that hasn't occurred. And also, she seems to have gained distance from her problem, so that in case they are reasserted again, she has a way to stop them on time and to redirect herself positively. So she gained that distance and integrated a great deal of insight of what the life of Marilyn Monroe was for her and how it doesn't make sense to continue that way. And she has to be consciously aware of it and practice this awareness daily and hourly. And the more she practices, the less she needs to practice, because it becomes like a nature to be herself, to be Shirley Lev. And that's the difference between her and hundreds of beautiful young ladies stepping forward and claiming to be Marilyn Monroe incarnated. In her case, she didn't want to be her. She wanted to be herself.
Mm-hmm. Now, here she is, a very well-known musical star, and she was willing to let you put photographs in the book about her to be able to relate so much of what your professional interaction was with her, your conversations. That, to me, describes a pretty brave person, because most individuals, like Sherry, would say, I don't know that I want my life to be that public. Did she want other people to know that if they needed help, they could get it?
Well, that's precisely so, because you see, the main objective of our work together, spanning almost 8 years, was to heal her soul, body, and mind. But the bigger than our goal was to help the world, to give a message, not to give up, that there is help, that if Orthodox medicine cannot help, many times we can associate it with an alternative, or with a complementary means, like past life regression therapy. And there is healing out there, and for many people. It's not just for Marilyn Monroe. And it's a message of love, healing, peace, and God's joy that we all can experience, because after all, I would be remiss in my duties as a physician if I were not to mention the underlying theme of this work, as it has been in every past life case that I've treated, thousands of them over 30 years, is the truth of reincarnation and what it means to our troubled world. We have, each of us, walked in the shoes of people of every race, nationality, creed, and gender, rich and poor, abuser and abused, as we evolve our souls to the point that we realize that there's only one life, God's life, and that we only kill, maim, and bomb ourselves, or God in each of us. And the message that Marilyn Sherry brings, and I bring to her on her high podium of visibility, is to the world, is love yourself and each other, and in this way, heal yourself, and that's live in peace and experience God's joy.
Forgiveness is a big part of that, too. Being able to let go of what no longer is necessary, and
right,
to not perpetuate the hate, the distortions. Marilyn Monroe Returns, The Healing of a Soul. Adrian Finkelstein, physician, is my guest. There is so much in this book, and it makes us think, or makes an individual think, beyond the normal paradigms. And healing can involve so many different modalities. And this is one that can really make a difference in someone's life. And in singer Sherry Lee Laird's experience, it has helped her to be free, to understand a lot of things about certain patterns that she had that were so destructive, and be able to turn them around. Doctor, if you were to leave a thought with my audience, what would you want them to carry in their mind for this day?
Well, basically, I've just mentioned that people that have problems in this troubled world, the suffering humanity, should consider that there is hope, not to give up, that they can approach people like me, and not necessarily me, but somebody that does this kind of work of past life regression therapy, give more recognition to the truth of reincarnation, which in Far East is so accepted, and use it, harness it for the good of humanity, to heal not just emotional but physical ills, because in my experience that's very possible, in the experience of my colleagues that do the same. And that's what I want to suggest, that there is an association by the name of International Association for Regression Research and Therapies. It's IARRT, and it can be Googled and found. And there are a lot of people there. I mean, it's a group of past life regressionists, practitioners, that are very good, and I highly recommend them. They can respond to people in their locations, because I'm only in Los Angeles most of the time. But there are people all over the world, all over the globe, in this association. As a matter of fact, in September 23rd, I'll give them the key speech, the key note lecture on Marilyn Monroe's reincarnation at their convention in Tempe, Arizona. So this is a group that really can be very helpful to a lot of people that seek this kind of therapy when other therapies didn't seem to help. But even if other therapies help partly or marginally, still, this therapy, in my experience of 30 years, proved to be very, very beneficial to, I would say, a majority of people. And this doesn't really, you know, discard it. One has to seek the medical and psychological advice by professionals. And I'm not just recommending this instead of other therapies, but as a complementation of other therapies, as an alternative sometimes.
Well, Dr. Finkelstein, thank you very much. And you can give me the name of the association quickly. We have about 20 seconds here.
It's
the International
IARRT, as in Tom.
IARRT.com.
No, not .com.
Not .com?
Just to Google it.
Okay.
And it stands for International Association of Regression Research and Therapy.
Research and Therapy. Thank you again, Dr. Finkelstein. His book, fascinating book, Marilyn Monroe Returns. Marilyn Monroe Returns by Adrian Finkelstein, and that's spelled F-I-N-K-E-L-S-T-E-I-N. Have a wonderful life, Doctor. You have a most interesting journey.
And peace to the world.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, more good things to share with you. Don't go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to the Hour of Mind Power. When Dr. Finkelstein was talking about his research and working with Sherry Laird, the well-known singer, I thought, gee, that brings back certain memories, and I wanted to share this particular story with you. By the way, if you should want to talk to me this afternoon, give me a buzz, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. That's our toll-free number for anyone in the U.S. If you're wanting to call in from Canada, here's our toll-free number, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. But I wanted to share this particular experience. This occurred in 1978, I believe it was. And my husband had invited home a gentleman and his wife, a wonderful couple. And we started talking about different things. And, of course, in the course of conversation, they wanted to know what kind of work I did. And I told them that I was a mental practitioner, psychic, and we went into that, and we shared some stories. And this gentleman then said, well, I'm really into hypnosis. And he said, I want to share an experience with you that I had that was really quite amazing, and it changed my mind about so many things. Well, he had, as I mentioned, decided he was going to become a hypnotherapist, and he wanted to do this, and he had studied for a number of years. And he had some people that would come to him, and they would let themselves be put under hypnosis. Well, this one young lady that came to him, when he put her under in hypnosis, he started asking her a question. And he wanted to know what she was doing. And she said, well, what do you think? I'm opening up the window. And he goes, excuse me? You know, he was talking to her, and she was making these remarks, and they just were not computing. And without knowing why, he asked her, where are you? She said, I'm in Chicago. Now, he was talking to this person was in California. And he said, you're in Chicago? She said, yes, I'm in Chicago. And he was curious. He said, where are you in Chicago? Well, she got a little exasperated with him. And she told him she was in this particular building and in this room, and it was so hot and so stuffy, she had to open up the window, and she didn't want to do it because the street was so noisy. And he said, well, can you tell me what the building looks like that you're in? So she describes it, and he asks her her name, and she gives him a particular name, which was not her name. Well, he could not figure out what was going on, and so he said, gee whiz, I don't understand this name, and she got very exasperated with him. So anyway, he brought her out of that particular experience of hypnosis, and he was very curious. Now, when he talked to the young woman after she came out of the hypnotic session, he said, do you remember this? She said, no. He said, do you remember, you know, this, thus, that, and so, these few things that were mentioned? Because he put everything on tape. She said, no. He said, well, I'm very curious about this. And she said, well, I have no idea what this person was talking about. And she said, if it was me, I can't believe it was me. So he asked her if she'd be willing to go under hypnosis again, and let's see what we could find out. She said, of course. So he arranged an opportunity, and they again put her under the hypnotic suggestion, and she went back. Now, when he had her under hypnosis this second time, he started going through regressing back certain times, and he found that when he started saying, well, go back to when you were 14, go back to when you were 3, so on and so forth, she gave certain information. But when he said, go back to your previous experience, she popped into this experience where she was again into Chicago. And so he began to question her, and he had had time to prepare questions. And he said, I wanted to know more about the building. I wanted to know more about the street. And so he asked her all kinds of questions, asked her her name, wanted to know what was on the street down below, and she described a building that was across from the building she was living in, and how this had a butcher shop in it, and it had all kinds of specialty things that were there. She described the building, gave the address of that building, gave the address of the building she was in, and she gave all kinds of specific details. So when he got through with his questioning, then he said, why is it you are you know, why is it you're remembering this? And she said, because it was a very significant part of my experience. I really don't ever want to be back in Chicago again, and I don't want this, that, or the other. So he was getting all of this information. Well, this time when he brought her out of it, he wanted her to remember it. And she was really quite surprised. And she said, this is really fascinating stuff. He said, yes, it is. He said, I'm going to do some research. So what he proceeded to do, he had a friend back in the Chicago area because he had gotten the street address and everything else. And by the way, this woman in California had never been to Chicago. She had never, ever traveled there, did not have family there. There was nothing in association with her current life that related to that part of the country. Just wasn't in her experience. He was able to get an exact time frame, and I don't recall, I think it was the late 1800s, early 1900s, somewhere in there. Actually, I think it's the late 1800s that it occurred. And by golly, he contacted a priest of a Catholic church that he happened to be aware of back in Chicago, and he said, I would like for you to check this information out for me. Is there such a street? And he gave this priest all of the information. Well, the priest went and checked, because he firmly believed in past life experiences himself. He went and checked and found not only did the building exist that this young woman had a past life memory of, but also the very building she was describing that was across the street from her was also still in existence. They were both brick buildings. The butcher shop was no longer there. There was a whole different arrangement, and there were apartments and other things. But he said everything she related was absolutely correct. And they even found a record about the young woman, the name. They had some kind of information. And he said, I can tell you, that changed my life and changed my mind so incredibly that I can never go back to thinking the way I've done before. And he said, I'm really intrigued with this. I'm absolutely fascinated with it. He said, the subject that I was working with didn't have any kind of a belief system, whether this was significant to her or not. For some reason, this is where she went in this very first session I had with her, and we explored it further, and this was the result. Well, I've heard so many different people over the years having various experiences, and there are many documented cases. But if you have had experiences of your own where you're aware of a time frame, if you can have a sense of knowingness, don't deny it. It's something that's there. And I've known many people from all walks of life, whether they are judges, pilots, housewives, truck drivers, it doesn't make any difference. There are so many people that have had experiences that give them insights into the past, and they say it helps them to understand why it is that they are going through what they're going through. And sometimes, just as with Sherry Laird, people try to find answers to complex problems. But I thought I would share that with you today, because these are experiences that I have had. These are stories that people have shared with me. And I think that it bears repeating. And also, I think when we can share what we've gone through or what we have learned from someone else or someone else's story, it always empowers us, because it makes us aware we're not alone in this. And you're not crazy as a nuthatch if you have these experiences. They are something you need to explore. And they are good to be able to investigate, because you may get the answers to questions that you would like. This is Donna Sebo, and we do have a caller, but if you'd like to call in today and chat with me, here's our toll-free number, 877-876-5227, or Canada, 888-810-8322. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Ann from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Jan, well, welcome, welcome, welcome. How's Green Bay today?
It's actually very nice out. It's in the 80s.
In the
very
80s?
Nice.
Oh, optimum.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful. Okay, Jan, I'm going to give you my mental impressions, and we will be going to a break in a couple of minutes, so don't hang up, because we'll be able to come back after the break, all right?
Okay.
Okay, now, Jan, when I'm watching you, I want you to get busy with your writing. You are a woman that has this marvelous imagination that needs to be able to express itself not only through artistic manner, but also through the written format. You have so much to share and so much to tell. For some reason, I think you'd make a wonderful columnist. I don't know what it would be, but you need a column of some kind where you can interact with people or share with people what you know. It will make such a difference in their lives. And Jan, I want you to take better care of yourself. You have a tendency when it comes to doing things around the house. You're like so many of us. Housework is not our favorite occupation. So we try to take shortcuts, and sometimes when we're taking shortcuts, you might use a product or something that has a fume to it or could have a very negative effect on the skin, on exposure to the physical self. So be aware. Think before you choose the products you're going to use, and if you are going to use products that can have some kind of an effect on your skin or, you know, affect your eyes or whatever, make sure you're in a well-ventilated area and that you cover your arms and your hands whenever you're working with it. Just be wise, because you are very sensitive to chemicals, so you must be extremely astute with whatever you do. So be wise here. Now, Jan, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment, and then when we come back, we're going to take your question. Will you stay on the line with us?
Sure will.
All right. Now, Jan's going to be with us. When we come back, we'll get to your call if you'd like to chat as well. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I want to let you know, Jan is on the line waiting. We're going to get right to her. But I want to let you know that for those of you who are listening that are in Alaska, in New York, I am going to be visiting those states, also in California. So you'll need to check my newsletter, because I'm going to be putting up the information about my upcoming travels. And in my newsletter, which will be coming out on the 1st, you'll be able to see where I'm going to be, and you'll be able to contact me if you want to meet with me personally while I'm in these different cities. I'll be in Fairbanks, I'll be in Anchorage, and I'll be in New York City. So if you or some friends wanted to meet with me, that opportunity will be available to you, and I'll have more details about California. California I'm going to be going to in October. So this is something, when it comes up, you're going to be able to access all of the information on my newsletter, which will be coming out on the 1st, which is in just a few days. Let's get back to Jan. Jan, what's your question for me, dear?
Well, just so you know, my name is Anne, A-N-N.
Oh, Anne, I'm sorry. Your voice is very faint, hon, at least to my ear. So.
Oh, that's fine. But my question would be, what do you see for my overall health, besides what you've already told me with the chemicals and that kind of thing?
Well, with your overall health, the picture that the one word I'm getting is stable.
Right.
There are some conditions that I'm seeing, and these are just pictures in my mind. I am not a physician, but this is just the information I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm doing what I would call a mind scan, what I'm looking at is you have a couple of issues that you need to pay attention to, and you need to do some homework on so that you can help your body do what it needs to do for itself.
Okay.
One picture that I'm looking at right away, it's like I'm seeing two red dots, one on the right shoulder, the other one on the left shoulder. Apparently in the shoulder cuff area there is a tenderness, and I don't know that I'd want to use the word inflammation. I think there is something that is missing in a nutritional component in your daily diet.
Okay.
That you need to be able to add. I don't know if it's a combination of minerals. I am not sure here. But I think that you need to do some homework.
Okay.
I am looking at the fact that there is an upper situation of discomfort just under the top edge of the breastbone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm looking at that, it's a queer sensation because it's in that particular area. But actually, I think it is relating to the kidneys. I think that there are these different signals that the body's giving you. And actually, it's been going on for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And dependent on what your stress level is and how your eating patterns are, your body will give you certain signals. And again, it's gotten stronger over the last, I'd say, 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be aware. And then as I'm going down through the body, and as I'm looking at it, I'm seeing it's sort of like a pinkish discoloration that I'm noticing. And it's going down, and then I'm seeing something I almost want to use the word a cramping in the back muscles behind the knee on your left leg. And I'm seeing this strange sensation, and then it's like I look down at your left foot and I'm just an ankle, and I'm just seeing this pulsing of a reddish pink color. Pulse, mm-hmm. pulse. I think you have a circulation problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see you get to someone that is an experienced physical therapist as well as a masseuse.
Okay.
Because I think with that combination of knowledge, you would be able to get some very good insights as to what needs to be done for yourself physiologically.
Okay.
And you can help the body do what it needs okay. to get itself into more of a balance. Your
mm-hmm.
general health, I feel, is stable. I think that these are just points of information that you need to be alert to
mm-hmm.
so that you're not going to be having major problems in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. I hope that's helped you.
Yes, it did.
Wonderful. Be good Thanks. To yourself and take care.
You too.
You're welcome.
Okay.
This
bye-bye.
Is Donna Sebo, and I want to just encourage you to look out for my newsletter. And by the way, if you'd like to get a free copy, it's not a problem. Just send me an email at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. And you can just send me and say, Donna, I want you to add me to your newsletter mailing list, and I'll be happy to do that. And it comes out once a month, and it gives my itinerary. And if you have a cute story or something you'd like to share, hey, pass it along. I always love hearing from you, and it's always a delight to be able to share information. I wanted to talk about animals for a minute. Oh, I do want to forget. I do not want to forget. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with our doodle lady, Carol Edmondson. Carol Edmondson's going to be my guest. She's a repeat guest on my show. She's just delightful. She has such a fabulous story to share. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Margot Woodacre, and her book is called I'll Miss You Too. And it is all about her and her daughter when her daughter was going to college and the things that were affecting her. Then next week, of course, on the 4th, that's a holiday, and I want to wish you all a very happy holiday. And we'll be here live with an open mic performance that you will be able to participate in. So if you decide you want to turn on your computer and listen to BBS Radio, we're going to be right here for you. Then next week, we're going to be talking with BJ Gallagher, Yes in the Land of No, and she's just dynamite. She's just so much fun. And Dr. Gran Canola, we're going to be talking about her lessons about how she learned how to deal with fear. And then if you're on your first job or if you're going to a new job, you're going to want to hear what Michael Ball has to share. You're too smart for this, beating 100 lies about the job. And then on the 8th, because I'm going to be in an airplane, we're going to be playing one of our previous shows. You're going to be hearing the best of Donna. We have got a dynamic lineup during the month of September, and you're not going to want to miss any of it. So check our website. You'll get all of that information. You know, we're running out of time, and I'm not going to be able to share this information about animals, but I will be sure to bring it up this week because it is fabulous. Acupuncture, all kinds of wonderful things. So you're just going to have to tune in tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day because we've got good things always to share. Donna Sebo here. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And it is a glorious day for you to be able to experience nothing but the finest and the best. And it is there waiting to shake your hand. Reach for it and keep a smile on that face of yours. Remember, when you smile, sunbeams just will radiate out from you and bless everybody that comes in contact with you. Have a magnificent day. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.